I'm Gail, and I'm based in Singapore. I'm a gender lens investor as well as a financial healer. So that's two pieces that might sound completely disparate, but hopefully I can tie them together for you. So for gender lens investing, I've been actively investing in female founders since 2018 as an angel investor and also as the VC for a brief time. My motivation for that thesis began from the time I was working on Wall Street at Morgan Stanley, working with financial services companies and technology companies on $10 billion of transactions, IPOs, debt financing, and M&A. And not one of the CEOs that I had served were women. And so I invested on the thesis that the gender gap is not just in representation, decision-making, pay, or investing, but it's also in talent and innovation. And I saw that opportunity with investing in early-stage companies with female leadership. My other hat as a coach began as I was coaching emerging leaders on living a purposeful life. And money is always part of that equation. Fundraising also was a big piece of what I supported my female leader clients through. Many of them were startup founders. I even coached some of their teams on their growth journey. And so I have a perspective from both the capital raising as well as what it's like to sit in the shoes of founders who are raising capital. It's very easy to get caught up in the binary male and female generalization. So I would say too that there are businesses of different characteristics. There are businesses that are VC, that are of the VC profile, high growth, tech driven. But that's only a small percentage of all the businesses there are in the world, and a small percentage of what are female-founded businesses. So the challenges that I have noticed, I'll speak to some sort of general ones that pertain to both categories of businesses. One is network and ecosystem. So for whatever reason, it could be historical, it could be systemic, women entrepreneurs are surrounded by a lot of other women entrepreneurs, like going to school, working in work in companies. There tends to be a lower representation of women in leadership, in decision-making, and certainly in capital allocation. So in that sense, there is a pipeline challenge of role models and of natural social network. And we all know that venture capital is primarily a socially driven ecosystem. Majority of the people in VC went to a certain number of schools, a certain set of schools, and they move in the same circles. And that's why it's been kind of a very homogenous profile as far as VC investors are concerned, as well as the companies that they invest in. So the risk level does tie to expected returns, right? So it is a growing and greenfield opportunity. And I think the risk aversion will drive more inclination towards guaranteed returns, proven returns, and financial returns being the most, if not the only, important factor. It's really quite simplistic to say, to paint women as, you know, more willing to be mission-driven, more willing to collaborate, less driven by financial rewards, right? I think we have to really move past that, this idea There are women and men of all ilk in my experience. I would say that there are problems that women face that are best understood by women founders of businesses that are set up to address those problems. So to tap into the pain points, to have empathy for the problems, there's still a gap in innovation there. And I do see women entrepreneurs entering the fray with this in mind. I do have a skewed perspective because of the ecosystems that I'm in. So I'm connected to Coralis, I'm connected to Angels of Impact, and we work exclusively with women founders who are running businesses that create a better world. The impact and the payoff is not something that might be realized fully in their lifetime. It's also, they set up their businesses for sustainability that will last beyond the time that they might be running their company. So I would say that I would love to see and know more male founders who are willing to pick up the gauntlet, who are running their businesses holistically, collaboratively, seeing the big picture. I may just not know them. So we have data that women founders generate more revenue, you know, return higher in the VC realm. We've also seen lots of data around credit. So the payback rates and the risk that lenders might take to a woman, the payback rates are higher and the credit risk is lower for multiple reasons. Some of them are just the risk aversion of women in general. They're more likely to pay you back. They're more hesitant to take on commitments, whether it's equity or debt funding, because they don't want to let people down. Like, I have seen that psychology at work. And it really does beg the question, then why aren't women getting the credit that they need? Why are women penalized in many markets around the world because they have no bank account or because they don't own property in their name or they don't have the education? That's something that microfinance has exploited. I have some mixed views around whether microfinance is good, if you look at some of the rates that they're charging. But it is an opportunity for trust-based lending, relationship-based lending, character-based lending, as an alternative form of financing that can also sustain non-VC businesses, right? Well, I'm a practitioner of crowdfunding, being an activator at Coralis, but it is a very special kind of crowdfunding because it is a 0% loan. I think that there's room for defining what are acceptable market rates that are not predatory. And crowdfunding can also be very helpful for certain businesses, like consumer-facing businesses, where you're also exposed to a large group of potential buyers and potential fans of your business who can not only provide financial capital, but also grow top line. And build a strong brand. I think crowdfunding too taps on a relationship aspect, which is missing in kind of the opaque, arm's length, transactional nature of funds. That is, I guess it depends on the personality of the founder who's raising funds. And some might perceive it as inefficient capital raising because you have to talk to many people at once or you have multiple stakeholders. But another perspective could also be that, especially for social impact, systems change businesses, you do want to get in front of large groups of people. And you do want to connect with them in a non-transactional way. Accelerators are important parts of the ecosystem. Here in Singapore, accelerators are very important in getting the VC industry from cottage stage to where it is today. I think their biggest value is in network, access to investors, recruiting your board, recruiting even co-founders and key team members, and to government. And that said, there are many accelerators. So how do you pick the right ones? I think with the gender lens in mind, it's really important to pick accelerators that are living by inclusivity. If their job is to foster talent and innovation, then it needs to be alive in everything they do, right? From the way that they curate their content and their mentors, from the way that they're teaching their founders how to pitch, from the way they set up demo days and pitch days, or maybe do away with that altogether because that is not necessarily a friendly way to, it's not necessarily a friendly forum for diverse founders, and it plays on biases. So that kind of awareness at the accelerator level flows through the design of their programs, and it's really less about knowledge and content, but really what they facilitate in terms of cross-pollination and the kind of interactions that is possible in their ecosystem.